coming down here each year and hanging out with everyone who attends service. It has certainly become a tradition for me and a very special part of my life. It really has. And I don't say that loosely. I say that sincerely. And you know, I enjoy hanging out with Mama B, my brother Kevin, and Sister Becky, and all of you all. I enjoy hanging out with you all. This is like home. I don't say that again lightly because some of you all may be aware we used to own land right down the street. We sold it last year. And that was my father's land. Praise God, after having it for about 30 some odd years, we end up selling that piece of property. And so again, just being down here is really home for me in that sense. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I do want to thank you all for inviting me again. And again. They call me each year and say, "Hey, will we have a spot or two for you?" One of them say, "Absolutely, praise God. I'll take whatever you provide me, and look forward to coming down and hanging out with you." So again, I'm just going to say to everybody, let's just praise the Lord. Let's just say hallelujah, hallelujah. That is the highest praise we can give God, amen. And I don't want to say that lightly because God is really deserving of all our praise, amen. He truly is deserving of all our praise, amen. Amen. Because we all, and I won't stay long because I do, I have to get the road. I have to literally get to Silver Spring, Maryland, because the wedding's in Silver Spring at 1 o'clock. And so I won't keep you long. But I think God deserves that. I think we've all can attest to some long days over the last couple of years, praise God, as we've tried to grapple with the pandemic and, you know, trying to stay within guidelines. Don't know what the guidelines are here and there. Trying to keep each other protected. I don't know who's had COVID. I've had it before. And I think a couple people in my family have had it. Lost a cousin last year to it. In 7 days, he got it. Going to the hospital, have an operation, end up getting COVID-19. And then from there, about 5-7 days later, not having any other health problems, he succumbed to it at 50-something years of age and just retired. And it broke my heart tremendously. But let me get to where I'm going to go this morning. I'm going to start off in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to wind up over in John chapter 8. And as I was riding past here yesterday on my way to Orange County, I had a wedding in Orange County, Virginia, yesterday. And so I did the wedding in Orange County. As I rolled past the wilderness, I said, "I'll see you tomorrow." And so, and then as I rolled back past yesterday evening, I said, "I will definitely see you tomorrow. Looking forward to it." But as I was riding by, I was talking to God about his word and what it was that he would have me to bring this morning to all of us. As, you know, Kevin talks about, and he brought that Christ died for our sin. Amen. He got up on that cross for you and I, and he died that we may have life, and it what? More abundantly. He said those who, he says he came to give life. I mean, he said, oh, my mind just went blank on me just that second right there. Please forgive me. That he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever chooses him may have what? Everlasting life. And that's for you to possess. Nobody else but you. Amen. It's all yours. Praise God. And I think it's vitally important that we understand and recognize that we have an opportunity to live. And I told my friend this earlier this week. I said, you know, God gave us two things. He gave us an alternative life and he gave us eternal life. We have both. We have an alternative life and we have eternal life. And what do I mean by that? If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're living a worldly life. But once you come to know him as your personal Lord and Savior, he gives you an alternative life. He gives you something. He offers you something far greater and different than what you've ever known before you came to what? Know him. And so that's the alternative. And as a result of us accepting that alternative life of accepting Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, he then gives us, as a condition to that, what? Eternal life. And so we have that with the Lord. But what the Lord laid on my heart yesterday as I was driving by was Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 through 11. I'm going to read that. We're going to pray. We're going to get into his word and we're going to get out of here. Amen? And it says this, therefore, Ephesians 4, 8 through 11. It says, therefore, he says, who's the he? Christ. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity what? Captive. and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first what? Descended into the lower parts of the earth. This is all about Christ giving his life on the cross. Amen. And he died on the cross, that he descended, and after 3 days he what? Ascended. Praise God. So let's look at this thing. And then it says, he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, some people say, well, wait a minute. I thought we were going to heaven, but he ascended above the heavens. Amen. Now, I think what some people don't know and realize and understand is that there are three heavens. Praise God. There is the atmosphere, which you and I breathe. There is the stratosphere, where the stars and the moons and all the planets are. And then there is what? Paradise. That's the third heaven. So when he says he ascended above the heavens, I like to teach you, so if you all walk with me for a minute, I'm just trying to give you a little bit of information as we go along. So when he says he ascended above the heavens, far above the heavens, he went to where? Paradise. That's what it talks about right here. And so he says this, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? Because he wants the people to be equipped for the work of the ministry. And so when we talk about what is ministry, we talk about serving one another. Amen. There's nothing more to ministry except for doing what? Serving one another. There's nothing more to ministry except for just helping each other along what? Life's highways. And it's hard for some people to help other people without Christ being at the center of your joy. Amen. Because when you're living a worldly life, you think about worldly things. But when you live a Christ life, you think about Christ things. And one thing we come to know about Christ Jesus is that he came to serve. He said that. He said, I've come to what? Serve. He came to help get us in a position to where you and I can now live a life where we have victory, we have power, and we have authority. Praise God. And that is the awesome and the greatest thing about God. But I want to back up for a second, because there's something he said here that I love, and I need all of us to understand this from the scriptures. He says that he led captivity what? Captive. Now let's look at this for a second, because this is really where I want to go. And I'm going to kind of speed through this. So y'all ready? Y'all ready to walk with me? Praise God. So when he talks about captivity, he talks about being in prison, and we're not talking about jail. He talks about being in prison, confined, and let me give you the third one right here, enslaved. In prison, confined, and what? Enslaved. This has nothing to do with you physically. This has everything to do with you spiritually. Being in prison, enslaved, and confined. Now, when he first talked about taking captivity captive, the first thing he did in taking captivity captive is that, and I'm going to pray. I know I said I'm going to pray, so y'all walk with me. I get a little excited sometimes. Is that he first took away the sting of death, and he also took away the victory of the grave. That's the first part of captivity. Y'all with me? He took away the sting of death, and he took away the victory of the grave. That's the first part of captivity. But there is something that happens in our lives that will lead us to the grave and to death. The very thing that he took away, if we're not careful, there's a part of captivity that will give death its sting back and give grave its victory back. If we ain't careful. Let's go before the throne of grace. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this time in which we had together. We thank you for your word in which your heavenly Father is presenting to us this day, that we might receive it in our spirit, man, that we might be healthy and strong in you, that we may come away from our old lifestyles, God, and live a new life as new creations in Christ Jesus. I pray right now that everyone needs the sound of my voice, whether they are here, Heavenly Father, or whether they are, Heavenly Father, listening in through Facebook Live, we pray right now that you be glorified in all that's being said, and that your word, Heavenly Father, will be implanted in our hearts, and that we will bear good fruit. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' mighty, matchless name, I say, let everybody say what? Amen. So let's run through this real quickly. And so, again, I said, when he took captivity captive, the first thing he did was he took the sting of death away, and he took away the victory of the what? Grave. But there's something that is in captivity, if we are not careful about, that will lead you and I right back to the grave where we have its sting, and right back to death where we have its sting, in the grave where we have its what? Victory. I need you to understand something in just a minute when we go over into John chapter 8. This thing broke my heart yesterday, and actually it broke my heart this morning too. I found myself early this morning crying because of John chapter 8, and I'm not exaggerating. It gave me cold chills. It made me think about my life. it made me consider some things in which I have participated in that's just not like God. And if we're not careful, death will have its sting in your life, and the grave will have its victory. And we can't afford to let death have its what? Sting. And neither can we let the grave have its what? Victory. Because Jesus Christ said he took captivity and made it captive.
Amen.
The very thing that was holding you and I, the very thing that enslaved us, the very thing that imprisoned us, the very thing that confined us, Christ took away from us. And he's now given us freedom in him, and you and I, we need to own our what?
Freedom.
Not according to man's standards, but according to who? God. I'm going to make sense of all this in just a very few minutes. So just say it with me. Jesus
took
captivity
captive,
and now
I own
my freedom
in Christ Jesus.
You are free. In John chapter 8, 36, it says, he whom the Son has set free is what?
Free.
You got to own your what? Freedom. He who the Son has set free is what?
Free indeed.
You need to own your what?
Freedom.
The only way that you become captive is when you give your freedom what? Now, there's a lot of things that can take you captive. There's a lot of things that can take you captive. You can give your freedom away by giving something else in, power over your life. And there's one thing in John chapter 8 that just totally broke me this morning as I was praying about 3 o'clock this morning. God would not let me rest. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. He would not let me rest this morning. And he took me over to John chapter 8, and I started at 36, and then he took me back to the beginning of John chapter 8. I read though, and I'm getting chilled about it right now. But let me tell you one part of captivity that will lead you right back to death, where there will be a sting, and where there will be victory, and that is hate. If we have hate in our heart for one another, it will take you right back to death. Matter of fact, the Bible records that you hate your brother, you're equivalent to a murderer. So I went in John chapter 8. Now let's roll through here real quickly. Let's roll. Y'all ready? Don't get sad on me. Praise God, because you just told me you own your what? And he who the Son set free is what?
Free
indeed. So if we own our freedom, there's no need to get sad, but this is just a teachable moment so that we don't give death its sting and grave its what?
Free.
Because we are free in who? Christ.
Amen.
There are a lot of people walking around here on the street today. As my brother Kevin said, we worked together for a long time, so we worked in the adult detention center and other aspects of our jobs, court and all those other things. And so certainly we've seen our share of men and women who've been physically in prison yet free, and we've seen our share of men and women who have been physically free but yet spiritually what? In prison. And then we've seen both of the same. We've seen people who've been in prison, who's in prison both ways, spiritually and physically. And then we know people who are on the streets that are free physically and also free what? Spiritually. The dynamic, the choice is who?
Mine.
And so let's look at this for a second. Let's roll over to John chapter 8 real quickly. We're going to run through this. I'm actually going to cover the entire 50 verses in a matter of seconds. We're going to break this thing down. 59 verses. It's 59 verses. We're going to cover this thing in seconds. But let me tell you something. Verses 1 through, I think, 14, is it? Let me see. 1 through... Verses 1 through... 11. Verses 1 through 11 is a very famous passage of scripture. It talks about the woman who was caught in what? Do you know this whole thing right here, 1 through 11, had nothing to do with her and her adultery? It had nothing to do with her adultery. It talks about her adultery, but it had nothing. I know y'all talking about this man crazy. It had absolutely nothing to do with her adultery. Let's look at this for a second. Let's roll through this real quickly. Y'all ready? Let's do what we used to do when we was kids. Ready, set, go.
Yep, amen. Praise God.
So here we go. But when Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, now early in the morning, now what time?
Early.
Now early in the morning, again, I mean, now early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in what? And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very what?
Act.
But what time of day is this?
Early.
So one or two things had to happen. Either they caught her in adultery some time ago and nobody did anything about it. Either they caught her in adultery the night before and held her captive against her own will. Or they found her in the bed with another man first thing that morning. What were they doing around somebody else's house the first thing that morning? And they would bring her to Jesus early in the morning. The Bible said it was morning. The Bible said it was what? Early in the morning when he began to teach. They found this woman one way or another and they brought her to Jesus to have him answer a question. They want none of us on that woman except for they really wanted who?
Jesus.
You know why they really wanted Jesus? Because they what?
Hated him.
They hated him because he taught against everything that enslaved them, that confined them, that imprisoned God people. He taught everything that would set people free, and because he did that, which was contrary to what they were supposed to be teaching, but it was contrary to what they were teaching versus what they should have been teaching, they did what? Hate him. The Bible says this. Let's look down here real quickly. The Bible says this. It says, they sat in the midst. Then verse 5 says, now Moses in the law commanded that we should stone her. But what you say? You already got the what? Commandment. You know the commandment says, but you say what you would say. Forget about God's commandment. We know the commandment is to kill her. But what you say? Bible says Jesus ignored her and wrote the same. And the thing that we oftentimes miss is that Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10 says, when a man and a woman is caught in adultery, both of them should what? Die. Where was the man? It had nothing to do with this woman's adultery. It had everything to do with accusing Jesus. And if you don't know, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says that the accuser of the brethren had been kicked out of heaven. Who was the accuser of the brethren? Satan. And he took a third of the host with us. You found one of them with.
No, you didn't.
Anyway, that's serious. Had nothing to do with her. Had everything to do with Jesus.
Yeah.
They hated him.
Yeah.
And they hated him because everything he taught was to liberate people. Everything he taught was to set you what?
Free.
So why does the church oftentimes enough, I know what my brother said earlier about people not coming to church, but too many times the church puts people back into what? And so as much as Christ has put, I mean, as much as God has allowed his son to be put on the cross that we might be free, too many times the church put people back into what? That's why people don't want to come to church. If we would just stick to the very simple basic principles of God's word, people would get set free. The church house would be what?
Filled.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, from the North to the South, churches would be filled everywhere. But too many times, churches put people in what? Bondage. I know people don't want to hear that. That's just the truth of life. And so, this is what they say. I love this part right here. And I'm not going to be able to cover all this. What time is this? It's 5 minutes and 9. How many 5 minutes and 10? We got to
all of you. I'll
be back in 2 weeks.
Amen.
All right. So he says this. Now Moses said in the law, he commanded that we should stone her. But what you say, Lord? Then they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to what? Accuse him. They wanted to find what? Fault. How many of us go around and every time we see something wrong, we find something wrong we don't like about somebody, we find what? Fault. I'll raise my hand. I know everybody here have not always been saved in their life. We don't like how somebody fit within our culture. We don't like how somebody dressed. We don't like how their hair was. We don't like what shoes they had on today. We do what? Accuse. We find fault. I don't know why she came to church. I always love this story because it's my favorite story, and I use it when I teach leadership and I teach diversity. We're sitting up in the, because I teach diversity from a different perspective, a whole different perspective of what people think. We get in the Walmart line, item says 20, items, I talk about dessert coming from there, item says 20 less, but the person in front of you got 30 things in their basket, you're now counting. Because you're not what? Free. You're bothered by somebody got 10 something extra item in their basket because the line says 20 or less. And now you're starting to talk to yourself and the person behind you. You want somebody to co-sign your accusations. You want somebody to co-sign how you feel bad about how you don't like somebody else. You know what that really boils down to? Y'all with me this morning? All right, so let's stop this. I'm going to tell you why I cried in this thing. You know they call Jesus the son of a fornicator? Did y'all know that? They call Jesus the son of a fornicator. It's right there in John chapter 8. That thing blew me away. How nasty they were towards him. And yet he still did what? Die for him. They called him a son of a fornicator. They ain't say it just like that, but I'll show it to you right there. In verse 40-something, they said, yeah, we have only one Father God. We're not the sons of a fornication. Woo! It was talking about murder. Can I tell y'all a secret? Talk about my mom if you want to. You say something about my mom, we going to the streets, we going to do what? Why? You don't know my mom like that, call my mom a fornicator. But they call Jesus. They say, yeah, we have one Father. That's God. We're not sons of fornication. Gee, look how ugly that is. Is that not ugly? That thing brought tears to my eyes this morning. But anyway, let me do this. Again, this was really not about her. This was about accusing Jesus. This is about hate. And we have enough of it in our land, don't we? We can't be the sons and daughters of God and have blood in our heart. Hate. Not when God so loved the what? That he gave his only what? Begotten Son. That so whoever chooses him may have what? Matter of fact, Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, when you were still without strength, Christ did what? Die for the who? Ungodly. So when people couldn't get right, he still did what? Die. So, when he talks about taking captivity captive, he was talking about setting us free. And there are many things that we give our freedom up for and allow ourselves to be taken what? Captive. I was listening to a pastor who was spewing so much hate from his pulpit. I swear, if I could have got through that social media page, I would have strangled him. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And this is where we've gotten to today, that we forgot the very simple principles and the very simple oracles of God. Jesus says in that very same passage of Scripture, he says, you all judge by, I'm not talking about you all, excuse me, not you. He was talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. He says, you all judge based upon flesh. It's around verse, I think, 15 or 16 or 17. He says, but I have come that I may judge no one. Brother Kelly said that earlier. He didn't come to judge. He was on my message this morning. So I already know that I'm in the right place.
Amen.
He says, I've come to judge no one. But you judge according to the what? Flesh. Do you know what's in our flesh? Can I show you what's in our flesh? When we make judgments based upon our flesh, and this was not a part of my sermon this morning, I'm going to give you this one, and I'll come back in 2 weeks, and we'll pick up more on this. I love it. But look at Galatians chapter 5.
So when we're judging in our flesh, and I hope you all who are on Facebook hear me real loud and good. In Galatians chapter 5, when Jesus says in John chapter 8, I think it's around verse 16, when he says, you judge according to your flesh. And yet, I'm sorry, yeah, let me see where it is. I'm going to find that judgment real quickly, and then we'll go to Galatians chapter 5. Oh, verse 15. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. So if we're judging according to the flesh, if we're judging according to the flesh, if we're judging according to the flesh, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Forgive me. Now the works of the flesh, now the what?
The works of the flesh.
The works of the what?
Flesh.
The works of the what?
Flesh.
So if you are judging by flesh, where people are in their lives, look what we are judging from. Now the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, oh my gosh, there it is, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not, what?
Inherit the kingdom of God.
My God. Now, I know people say save once, always save, and I'll let you have it. But I promise you, I will not put my paycheck on it. Theologically, I'll run you right to the Bible and show you where it doesn't say that. People say, well, the Bible says that God says no one can pluck you out of his hands, and that is apt. No one can pluck you out of his hands, but you have what? Free will and free choice. And people say, well, once you get God to Christ, that's it. No, not when we live in Hebrews chapter 6. Oh, absolutely not. That's not what Hebrews 6 says. Hebrews 6 is totally contrary to that. I had a dude I was going back and forth with about this matter right here. He finally gave up. I said, you messing with the wrong one, dude. Okay, how much did you know? You messing with the wrong one. Because every time you show this, I'm going to show you contrary to what you tell me, not that the word contrary to contradicts itself. But I'm going to show you where he was speaking to a particular situation and circumstance versus what you're trying to make as a global thing. You can't do it. You can't win. You cannot win. Oh, man. I've learned so much. I'm telling you something. Seriously. I've learned so much over the pandemic. I've been pastoring for 22 years. I've learned so much over the pandemic. Just looking at God's word and that thing caused me to focus. He opened my eyes to all that stuff that I just did not realize. I was just missing the mark on some things. Not everything. God knows I won't miss the mark on everything. I'm not saying that at all. But there were some things I was just missing that God began to mature and grow me in. So when we judge from the flesh, what are we judging from? Look at all that stuff. All that stuff. And when you continue to read, we'll come back and talk about this, but when you continue to read in John chapter 8, Jesus says, if you don't believe in me, I'm telling you, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to die in your sins. Because they were hating him. And it finally gets to the end of John chapter 8. We'll come back to John chapter 8 next time I get back here. It finally gets towards the end of John chapter 8. And they said, man, you ain't older than 50 years. Jesus said, listen, they said, we're the descendants of Abraham. Jesus says, right you are. Then they get to a point, they say, well, we're the sons of Abraham. And he says, if you were, you'd do the things that Abraham did. He says, but you're not. You're the sons of your father. He was talking about the devil. But these were righteous people he was talking to. These were spiritual leaders he was talking to. Now, I know salvation had not come in the sense that
that Jesus had died on the cross, but everybody who believed in God at that time, if you died, you found yourself in Abraham's bosom.
Oh my gosh, that story about Isaac, that story about Lazarus and the rich man. That story about Lazarus and the rich man. Did y'all ever notice that the rich man called to Abraham father? Abraham, which means he had a relationship with God. How would he know that Abraham, his father, Abraham, the patriarch of God's people, unless he first had a what? Relationship. In fact, the Bible says he recognized him. The Bible doesn't say he recognized him. But wait a minute. He's in the great, he's in Hades. He looks across the great gulf. See, y'all got me. I love this stuff right here. This stuff. He looks across the great gulf and he says, Father Abraham, he has a relationship with God and found himself in you. All because he did not serve. Did y'all hear what I just said? He found himself in hell all because he did not what? Serve who? Lazarus. Every day he walked past that man in that situation, ignored his conditions until they died. Here's the funny part of it all. He gets in hell and he asks Abraham for who? To help them in his what? Condition. I'm going to give y'all a little nugget in that whole thing too. I'm going to let y'all ride on this. Right here. This is totally away from where I was. I just get so caught up. I do. Abraham says at the bottom of that teaching, he says, send back someone that my brothers may hear and not come to this place, right? Abraham says something so profound, people missed it. Abraham says, no, they have Moses and the prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. He says, but they still would not believe the one rising from the what? From the what? People think that Abraham is actually talking about sending somebody back to the grave and God hope people might believe. But he was really talking about who? Jesus. Because Jesus says, Abraham, look forward to the day that I did this. If you go back into John chapter 8. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Jesus says, Abraham, look toward the day that I give my life and rise again. Abraham tells the rich man, though one rise from the grave, they still won't hear or believe. The one. He didn't say though some. He says, though one rise from the grave, they still won't believe. And go back over and read that thing. That thing is mind-blowing to me. He was talking about Jesus. How when he raises from the grave, people still won't what? Believe. That thing completely blows me. And it was true. And here we still have people today who don't what? And Jesus has what? Risen. My God. All right, so listen, I'm so far off track. Let me just close up right here. If we do not own our freedom in Christ Jesus, we will find ourselves in captivity. Captivity from hate, captivity from alcohol, Let me stop. I don't want anybody to think because you drink, you're going to hell. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. I'll talk about that another time. I wonder if I said that pastor just committed me because I drink alcohol. No, I did not. No. There are other things that will hold us captive. Y'all with me? They drank alcohol in the New Testament. I know that. Y'all do know they drank alcohol in the New Testament. Y'all do know over in Ephesus they were drinking alcohol. Y'all know that. Okay, just want to make sure. He says, but if you get what? Drunk, that's a what? All right, so now it's all true. All right, so there are other things that will bring us into captivity that if we are not careful, you're going to miss. One thing I want to leave y'all with this morning is hate.
We cannot hate one another. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what the color of your skin is. I don't care what economical status you have or don't have. I don't care where you live socially or where you don't. You cannot hate. They hated Jesus. And they did everything to what? Kill him. At the end of John chapter 8, they said they picked the very ones that picked up stones to stone the woman, picked up stones to do what? Stone Jesus. It had nothing to do with that woman's sin. It had everything to do with trying to kill Jesus because they hated him, because everything he taught was to set people what? Free. And anytime someone is teaching you something that's contrary to your freedom, you should what? Walk away. Amen. Because Christ died that we might be what? Free. And you have freedom. Keep your freedom in the Lord. Don't let nobody put you in bondage. All this mess that's going on in the world today is completely mind-boggling. I mean, guns are coming out everywhere. You can't even go to the grocery store. You can't go to the gas station. You can't drive down the street. You can't open the doors of your house. People want to do what? Kill you. Rob you. Do everything to you. Because the land is full of hate. And a lot of people miss the kingdom of God because of it. So with that, he whom or she whom the Son has what?
Free.
Is what?
Free.
You're going to do what? Own your what?
Freedom.
In who?
Christ Jesus.
We're going to learn. I'm going to say this. Somebody probably get offended. But I'm going to say it anyway. We're going to learn to love the hell out of each and every one of us. No, I'm not cursing them, of course. No, I'm not cursing. I'm talking about the actual hell that's running and raging in people. We're going to learn to love the hell out of them. Everybody ready to love the hell out of them? And what's this require as I close? What's this require of each and every one of us? It's going to require each and every one of us to be genuinely kind to each other, regardless of what people think or say to us. I'm not talking about letting nobody be a doormat and use their feet to wipe all over your life. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is it's incumbent upon each and every one of us to learn to love in spite of all the evil and hatred that's in the world. Because when your light shines, it causes men and women to glorify your Father. Who's what? In Matthew 5:16. Amen?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord some praise right now. Amen. And so we can stand to our feet. KB said, thus far, I'm eligible to come back in 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, so. We're going to try this all over again. We'll get back to this a little bit more. And hopefully, if you all are down here, you'll come back and stop by and see me again. Come on, Kev. Hopefully, y'all come by and stop by and see me if you're here in town in 2-3 weeks. It's the 7th of August. We're going to talk some more about this. Amen? No wedding that day.
Right. I think it's the 31st, but let me, I'll get with you.
Get with me.
Get with you.
If he says the 31st, man, if it's the 31st.
I'm in trouble because you don't know about it.
I don't know about it, but I'll make it happen.
Uh-oh. I'll go back and check my schedule.
I'll make it happen. But I thought it was the 7th, but it was the 31st.
Might be both.
Then I'll make it happen. Amen. But yeah, I got to get on the road. I haven't got it. This is the truth of the matter. I think, somewhere between 5 to 8 requests a week for marriages. And so I am traveling up and down the highways, up and down. I'm marrying so many people, I don't even know what's next. Amen. Praise God.
Amen,
praise
brother.
You.
Thank you.
Praise God.
All right, all right. Thank you, Brother Todd. Let's give him a hand. Thank you, folks, for coming out. And it's such a joy to see everybody and all the young folks, the little ones that came out today. And We hope you can stick around with us today. But anyway, let's dismiss with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this awesome message today. And Father, we just thank you for the freedom we have through your son, Jesus. We thank you for all these wonderful folks that came out. We ask you to bless the rest of this day, bless the book bag process and the potluck later. And Lord, we just ask you to give all these wonderful folks safe traveling graces until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.